Well, we thank God today for salvation. Absolutely the greatest thing that ever happened to mankind is that we can be made one with God. Praise His holy name. Absolutely the greatest thing, and the angels declared it, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The greatest gift, the greatest thing. So we thank the Lord for that this morning. There's a scripture in the Bible that said, now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love. It said the greatest of these is charity. And I'd like to have a little personal thought for just a moment. I thank God for love. And I thank Him for the love that I've been loved with. And I think about also Paul wrote in Corinthians, I believe, speaking of the comfort that God has comforted us with, that we might be able to comfort others with that same comfort. And I think about using that pertaining to love, that the love that God has for us, the solace, the comfort, the strength that it is, that you and I can in turn take that love, love one another, and the power of that love can be ministered to each other. So, from my heart to you, I know I say this sometimes, but I want to say it again. From my heart to you, I love you, and I appreciate everyone. And thank God for the kingdom, and I thank God for all that He's done for this poor man. It's a wonderful life being a Christian. About 15 or more, actually more times, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there's a phrase, it's maybe said different ways, but it said this, that the word might be fulfilled. Or it may have said it something like this, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken. When you read that, it speaks about a prophecy of some nature. A statement by God in the Old Testament of something that would come to pass. And I won't go into every one of those, because there's, like I say, a minimum of 16. But there's probably even more than that that we could relate. That's just what Christ said. Paul wrote about those things also. But I have one in mind today that I'd like for us to think about. It's about Jesus, about His love, about His rejection, but about the love and the power and the authority and the glory of it to those who believe. That in a skeptical, unbelieving, and a very sinful world, there are yet the possibility to believe. And all the blessings of the Father can be upon mankind today in spite of the skepticisms that are around us. Over in John, the 12th chapter, Jesus said this, or it is said of Jesus, 12th chapter of John, and the 37th and the 38th verse. Speaking of the Lord. But though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him. Believed not on Him. That the saying in Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? It's kind of hard to imagine, isn't it, that someone as mighty as Jesus Christ and Jesus in the flesh, going about doing good, healing all manner of sickness, casting out devils, turning water into wine, and all the things that He did, that there could still be the skeptic and the gainsayer and the unbeliever. The dead rose. The blind saw. The deaf heard. The lame walked. Withered arms were restored. Children were revived. The lady at the well was miraculously witnessed to and saved. On and on. And yet, right there in that most precious time in human history, there were still those who did not believe. And I think about that in the sense that in spite of that, and in spite of all the carnality and adultery of man, and God Himself having already prophesied of the atmosphere and the conditions in the heart of men, was still willing to give His only begotten Son, knowing the thing that was going to happen to Him, knowing the fact that there were going to be the majority, and I may say the vast majority, did not believe in Him. And they followed Him not because He was God so much. They followed Him for the loaves, and they followed Him for the fishes. But yet God so loved, God so cared, and God so was interested in us that He was willing to go to the extreme for you and me. And I wonder about me and mankind today. Do we fully appreciate what has happened in our life and what is available to us? I'm sure it was through a lot of ignorance on these people's part here. I don't believe they were all terrible, wicked people. But I wonder about us today. We have been exposed to the Word of God, probably the majority of us, if not all of us, from our childhood. We have been witnessed to by God Himself, not just by the minister or mom or dad, but God Himself has spoke, and I am confident of this, I may be wrong, but I am confident every person in this building of age has heard the voice of the Lord telling us something, saying something to us, saying something. Hello, I'm God. I love you. Cast on me your cares. You're hurting. I know how you feel. Let me love you. You're going to hell. I want to save you. I don't know. I believe every one of us have been witnessed to in some fashion, I'm confident of that, by God. And now the Scripture said that it might be fulfilled who hath believed the report. Let's go over to Isaiah for a moment and just read that little Scripture. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Because in it, I was talking to someone recently, and it concerning the Old Testament. Sometimes people have a little difficulty reading the Old Testament, not because they're against it, but it's historical, it's prophetical, it has things that maybe you and me are not accustomed to in our day and age. But I told this person, one thing I believe for sure about the Old Testament, it reveals the character of God to us. It reveals what God loves, and it reveals what God hates. It lets us know His care for us and His care for His own Word. And I believe this 53rd chapter of Isaiah reveals to us some about the character of God. The very essential ingredient for my trust, for my ability to believe, I believe, is knowing the character of God. Knowing who He is and how He is and His aims, His goals, His desires, His passions. What He hates and what He loves. So He sent a son into a very wicked, unbelieving, skeptical place for a purpose. And this sending was a very costly thing. Lord, help us today not to be caught up as the men of old were, and prevent and limit the Holy One because we don't believe, or we won't accept, or we won't allow the things that God has for us. Salvation and happiness, eternal life and deliverance to be ours. Lord, help us not to let the skepticism of the world around us and the governments, as Brother Jerry spoke about, to allow those things to stand between us and what God wants to do for us. Who hath believed our report, Isaiah of old wrote? As if searching out. God is still looking today, saints. He's looking for you children. He's looking for me. He's looking for us older ones and you young adults, moms and dads and all of us. He's looking, who's going to believe me? Who will eat? Who will dine? Who will be washed? Who will enter in? I have mighty works. I have mighty things. And I want to do them for you. I don't believe God and Christ came for their own enjoyment in the sense of the physical part, especially, or the emotional part, or the anxious part. I know for the joy that was set before Him, but I don't believe either one of them came or was sent or because they thought this is going to be a wonderful experience. It was a harsh, cruel environment He came into. Deadly. Men were lovers of pleasures and governments had soured and teachings of even the Jewish law had been perverted. Men were sick and men were needy and they were poor and they were starving and Rome had an iron grip. It wasn't a beautiful place. It wasn't a pleasure trip. I don't believe the Lord came down here just to say, let's go check out Earth and vacation on the Riviera somewhere for a few months or 3 years. He came down for a purpose and a mission. And you and me need to get a hold of that and recognize the advantages and the wealth and the joy and the forgiveness that is in believing the report. And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We might say, and rightly so, I guess, I believe, the arm of the Lord, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I can accept that. But at the same time, I recognize that it's discounted so often. And it's counted as incidental or something we put off. I hope none of us today are putting off the grace of God. God wants to reveal Himself in a way, perhaps to you right now, in a way He has never been able to do that before. He's wanting the wall of unbelief and skepticism broken down in your life and in my life. He wants something so great and earth-shaking, so life-changing and profound to take place in your life. He wants the very nature healed of man. And we stand with the shield of unbelief. We stand with that shield erected because to believe, I've got to do something about myself. I've got to be willing to change. I've got to be willing to be made again. I've got to be willing to be broken. So I'll just lift up my shield of, oh, that's not for me. Oh, that's not necessary. And what we're doing in those moments, we are keeping the very arm, the strength, the might of the God of heaven from being revealed to us. He cried out, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I begin to think then about the arm of the Lord. I don't know what all that has in mind. It could mean many things, I know. I know who was at the right hand of the Father. I know who's there now. And I also know that by Him the worlds that are were made. And I know by Him that He sent the Word, or He spoke the Word. And I know the Word was made flesh. I know who is at the right hand of the Father. And I believe this great arm is Jesus Christ. And all of His power and all of His love. But He didn't come, did He, to meet your expectations? He came to meet the divine expectation. He didn't come to fulfill the whims and the luxuries of man. He came to fulfill the love and the mission of the Father. He's not of this earth. He's not of this earth today. He's not to be portrayed as of this earth. He's not to be categorized as a mere mortal who is subject to fallibilities. He is the eternal God, the Word. He is the right arm of the Almighty. And because He didn't come pleasing to you or pleasing to me, in no way takes away from who He is. He is God. And He didn't come in such a way that He was, oh, look at our adorable Christ. He came quite opposite of that. For He shall grow up before Him, this arm, I believe He's talking about, as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. Harshness and the perverseness and the dryness of the desert of life. And yet out of that springs hope eternal through this One who came to us. Can't yours and my life seem so barren at times? If you're not saved today, oh God, help us to admit it. Life is a barren wasteland. Oh, I do this and I have that. But one day all this I have, it's gone. As a root coming up into the dry places, offering life-giving water and food to the hungry. I'm so glad Jesus came, aren't you? I'm glad He came to the dry ground. I'm glad He came to the parched places. I'm glad He came to the barren, sin-tossed world. I'm glad He came to those places where the briars and the thistles grow. And you know where He's coming today? To those same places. To those same places that need Him so much. Help us not to hold up the banner of unbelief. Help us not to hinder Him by not believing. Help us not to be skeptical, not to be a gainsayer. Lord, help us. Help us not to qualify the Word of God by my passion or by my pride, to put caveats on what God said. The Lord said so and so, but I think this, or but I believe this, or well, that doesn't pertain to me. You know what we're doing? We're lifting that shield of unbelief. We're lifting that shield of skepticism. And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed to? You have a tender out of dry ground. For He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. The beauty of the Lord is not in His countenance. The beauty of the Lord is not in His charisma. The beauty of the Lord is not in His dress. The beauty of the Lord is not in His abilities to come into a situation and have everybody ooh and awe over Him. I believe Jesus was extremely ordinary looking. But it hindered people because they were looking through the eyes of the flesh. When He came in His humility, not to be born in a manger, not to have to not have a place to lay His head, people's faith was not able to take it in because that's not necessary. He's the King. I think about us today. We want the religion to be convenient. You know why I say that? You look around at the religions. You look around at what's out there. Excuse me. And man wants God to be convenient. Man wants Jesus to be convenient and pleasant and not the judge in the sense of he is the judge, but a judge in how they perceive him ought to judge. Every man's eyes is right in his own eyes, so we will develop a Jesus or a religion. Oh yes, it has some noble standards. But it doesn't meet the nobility of holiness or the Word of God. So people have manufactured the Lord. They've merchandised Him. And regrettably, many people buy into it. More buy into that than they do into the Word of God and the Kingdom of God. More buy into a pleasant Jesus. Now, we're not going to stop that Jesus is unpleasant. We'll go there a little while. He is despised and rejected of men. You ever thought about that? When you despise Jesus and when you reject Jesus, what you're rejected? You've run a long race. You've been 2 days without water. And it was 100 degrees. And you're dehydrated. And you're very faint. And your tongue is swollen. And you walk up, someone walks up to you and says, "Friend, here's a glass of water." Well, is this Ozarka? Is this Sam's? Or is this old tap water? Hungry, thirsty, dying people are rejecting the fountain of life. Because it doesn't meet what they say at all. Folks, God is going to cut across us. God's going to chasten us. God's going to say, "You're wrong." But every time He does, He's going to have the life-giving water extended to you. "Come unto Me and drink." "Lord, is this Ozarka?" "Well, I always drink Sam's because it's cheapest." "Or is this Guthrie water? You know, it can taste so bad, Lord." Plumb silly, isn't it? Because in about 3 minutes, your heart is going to quit beating because you're dehydrated. Did you know in about 3 minutes you're going to be dead? Figuratively speaking. He is despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. Wept. The burden of the mission he was sent on weighted him down, folks. He didn't go to the garden and say, "Well, Lord, help me get through this real quick now." Agony was on him. And he was acquainted with grief. I don't know of all the promises in the Bible, but maybe this is one of the most beautiful. Acquainted with us. God's acquainted with you. God knows us. God knows you. God knows me. And He knows what kind of shield I got up. He knows if I have the shield of faith. Or He knows if I have the shield of skepticism or self. God's acquainted with us. And He knows when we're hurting. He knows when we're happy. I don't know of anything any greater, folks. And I know we can say this about a lot of things. But right up there among the top of the great things God has done is He's acquainted Himself with us. He can fully empathize with grief. And pain and temptation. And yet we hold Him at arm's length. "You can't help me." Folks, don't we know today He's acquainted with us? Every pain I feel, He's felt. This is the one that we have life in. And this is the one the cry goes out, "Will you believe? Please believe what He has to say." He's revealing Himself and revealing Himself. And yet, He goes unheard. He can't do what He wants to do for you. He can't do what He came to do. That man died. Those lepers weren't healed. That blind could not see. That One could not come out of the clutches of sin. Not because the Lord wasn't able to do it. Because they wouldn't believe He would do it. They wouldn't trust Him. They wouldn't say, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, help us today. Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I praise Him. And it said here these times, we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. Think about it. Are you hiding your face from the Lord today? Am I? Sure we do it. Sure we can do it. Not wanting to face up to who we are. Not wanting to face up to our responsibilities. Not wanting to go to services. Can't get around to go to Sunday school. I know I missed this morning. Can't get around and do this. Too busy to read the Bible. Do it later. Hiding our faces. Hiding our faces. Not able to pray. Well, the Lord, no, I pray just hiding our faces from Him. Not able to open up our hearts. Not able to open up our wallets and our pocketbooks. Lord, I don't want you to know about this. It's my vacation money. It's my time. It's my vacation time. Hiding ourselves. Hunkering down under some type of false illusion that God doesn't see. That God doesn't know. Under this illusion that if I just don't tell Him. Under this illusion that God is too good to let me perish and go to hell. God is too good to let me be lost. I want to tell you something. God is totally good. But your soul is in your own hands. And if you hide yourself, or if I hide myself, folks, we're not going to go to heaven. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man cometh to the Father but by the right arm. No one cometh unto the Father but to the one that grew up as a tender plant and sprang up as a root out of dry ground. No one is coming unto the Father but by the Lion of the tribe of Judah. No one. So we hide our faces. Why? A lot of reasons. But I'll tell you one word, what it is. Self. Self. Every one of us has got it. Every one of us is plagued with it. And every one of us has offered a solution to the problem. But if we hide ourselves, and this is what happens, this is what's happening in the world today. It was happening then, prophesied of Christ's times. He is despised, and we esteemed Him not. There's a lot of religion in the world, not only Christian religion. A lot of religion. But I don't think I'm wrong. You read about religions, and I don't know anyone any more hated than Christians, true Christians, or perceived Christians. This is, you read about Paul, and I know we have. That man was hated. That man was despised. That man risked his life and was almost slain more than once. And we esteemed him not. Estimations of the Lord run pretty low. Forgive me if this harms us or hurts us. But you know, it might be our fault sometimes that the Lord is not esteemed highly enough. Think about it. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. We have committed to us the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us to do all to the glory of God. I am to be, you are to be, if we name the name of the Lord, someone who ups the esteem of the Lord in the eyes of the unbeliever. I challenge us as Christians today. Walk worthy of the vocation of which you are called. Don't let Don't let self get a hold and begin to rule, because the esteem of the Lord in a gainsaying world will be brought even further down. So this old shield of self, of unbelief, hides behind the skepticism. Surely he hath borne. Turn a corner a little bit. As we looked at the Lord, some of his character, some of his ways, listen to what he did. In spite, I don't know how to praise him enough, folks. I'll be honest with you. I despised him. I esteemed him not. I hid my face from him. I rejected him. I despised him. And you probably in your own way have also sometime or another. And in spite of that, listen to what he said. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Surely he has carried our sorrows. In spite of how we treated him, look how he's treated us. I am not worthy of the love of God. We ought to love him. We ought to say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Lord, I want to love you more now. I've not esteemed you for your own worth enough. Because when all this could be said about me as a sinner one day, you still bore my grief, and you still bore my shame, and you still carried my sorrow, and you still suffered for me. You still gave your life. You still gave your blood. You still gave your heart. You still gave your very body. You gave yourself, and all that you were totally emptied out. Nothing left. You gave it all up and went to the grave. And there I was, sitting in my smugness, in my unbelief. There I was over in my little corner of the world under my false umbrella of hope, thinking, oh, that's just wagging my head, wagging our tongues. And all that he did was so that you and me could be saved. Folks, we owe him a debt, terrible debt. And you can't pay it, and I can't either. But we can love him with all our heart. We can sell our soul, mind, and spirit, and all that we have, and believe the report. Receive him into our hearts, not in just I believe, but receive him into our hearts as King, as Lord, as the great God, as the Word. We can receive him as hope and life, eternal life. We can receive him as a life-changing force, the river running from heaven above down into our poor, parched heart. We can do that. Lord, help us. Yet, in spite of that, people still don't esteem him. I wouldn't ask for a show of hands. But there's, I believe every one of us right here today believe there's a God, and we believe that there's a Jesus. I want to stipulate that for us all. I sure don't want to be wrong. And we believe he suffered, and we believe he died. We believe he did that. We do. And yet we esteem him not. How much sore punishment do you think we'll deserve when we've trodden underfoot such love? None of us like punishment, folks. There's coming a day of punishment for the wicked. How much sore punishment will a man be worthy of who believed to the degree he believed in Jesus, and that believed he was consequences. Today, the consequences of sin is on the cross. The remedy for it, the penalty for it, is on the cross and the blood and the resurrected Lamb. That's our remedy today. But one day, when all this shall be no more, the penalty for sin will be a lake of fire. I believe I want to take advantage of the free gift, don't you? They said they esteemed him not in spite of what he had done. I'm glad he didn't quit. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the penalty for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, God has afforded us in this man, Jesus Christ. And yet, we esteemed him not. I hope today there's no one here not esteeming him. Not esteeming him. I hope there's no one of us here today that are saying, someday, Lord. Or not today, Lord. Or I don't really believe entirely. That my little shield I've got over here and my little cocoon over here, it's so secure and snug. Look at my bank account. Look at my retirement years looming out before me. Look at all my health and my wealth and look at all my pleasures and look at all the entertainment I have. And why? I'm going to eat and drink and just have a good time. I'm going to build some more barns. I'm 65, 70 years old. I'm going to build some more barns. Kind of funny about us, isn't it? We're going to live forever. No question in our mind about it. We're just going to be around so long. Lord, help us to esteem him. To understand we're leaving. We're on our way out. And one of these days, you're going to have to reckon with him. And listen to what he did. He was wounded for us. For our transgressions. He was bruised for our sins. He was chastened because we had no peace with God and we needed peace with God and there was no way for me to get peace with God. So Jesus was chastened so you and me could have peace with God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Came to heal us, provide all things, to give us himself. And the cry at the beginning, who's believed? Have you let him reveal himself to you in his forgiveness? Do you really see the enormity of sin? Do you really understand what the penalty of sin is? Do you really understand hell is real? Do we really understand there's a judgment to come? And do we really believe that on that cross was the answer, the remedy, the cure, the deliverance, that I can be saved and my name can be in the blood, a book of life? Do we honestly believe that? I believe if more people believe that, there'd be more people acting right. There'd be more people doing right. There'd be more praying. There'd be more reading. There'd be more praise. And I don't mean literal praise altogether. There'd be more honor to God. There'd be a reverence and a fear and a silence before the Lord. So the world is clamoring and clamoring and clamoring. I believe in Nehemiah somewhere it speaks about that all the earth speaks about being silent. We need to be silent before God. This old clamoring world, young people. If us old folks are touched by the clamor, I know you're touched by it. Because it's brighter to you than it is to me. Be so careful. Stop and listen to what God is saying. Stop and some way out of the den of this society we live in, please, please, please let God reveal himself. Please stop long enough to say, wait a minute, I hear a voice, a song calling me from the old rugged cross. It compels me to listen because of all the sounds, it's the only one that has hope in it. Because of all the sounds I hear and pleasing to the ear and pleasing to the eye, it's the only one that offers me something better. Security. It's the only one that says, I love you. I love you. All of us have been like sheep gone astray. Everyone is turned to his own way. Boy, there's no remedy for that except for God. And he said, turn to his own way, and the Lord hath put on him the sins of us all. I don't know about you. I'm kind of like, was it Isaiah? Have mercy on me, Lord. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man who needs help. I'm saved, folks. And I feel so unworthy of this. God help us to believe it. To believe it. To let him reveal himself to us. Would to God today we would break down our barriers. And I'm not pointing fingers. I'm talking about the barriers of self. And I'm not speaking about in this chapel. I'm not speaking about just in a worship. I'm speaking about in life. God, let yourself be revealed. Well, stand, I will, but if you'll get out of the way. Yes, Lord, I'm out. I'll die to this thing. I want happiness and I want health. Will I let God reveal himself to me? See, that's what I'm talking. That's what God wants us to do. All we like sheep have gone astray. This is a rather personal question. And I certainly will not ask anyone to answer this. What's the worst thing you've ever done? You could lay $1,000 right here in front of me and I wouldn't tell you. What's the worst thing you've ever done? I want to tell you something. People have done some terrible, terrible things. We have done things that we are so ashamed of. I cannot believe I let myself do that. And the Lord placed on him all our sins. All those things that we are so ashamed of. All those sins. That sin that you look at or I look at and cringe every time we think about it. And how if we had footprints or foots that would go into feet that would go into the past, we would run back to that point in time and say, correct it. I'm going to wipe it out. What's the worst thing you've ever done? And yet the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. You and me can be forgiven. You and me can be made new creatures. You and me can have our name in the book of life. You and me can be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You and me can have everything that pertains to life and to God. All the riches of the kingdom can be ours because we can be forgiven. And our sins will be remembered against us no more forever. God, help us to let that break down our resistance. God, help us to open the gates of praise because of that. Lord, help us to break down our intimidations and those things that hold us back from serving you completely. Because I can be forgiven. I am forgiven. Songwriter said, my sins that were many are nailed to the cross and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Something like that. Oh, my soul. Today, he was wounded and he was bruised. He was chastened. He was striped for us. And you know what? It did not appeal to people then. It does not appeal to people today. Don't let that charge be laid to our feet, to mine or to yours. Let's esteem him today. Because they wouldn't believe him, It prevented him. You know, when God was making all things, he had no obstacles whatsoever. The entire cosmos said amen. The elements that were not came into being and said amen. The molecules, the cells, whatever makes up the atoms that make up life, came from maybe nowhere and said, what do you want us to do, Lord? And he said, come over here. That's a tree. Nothing prevented the Lord when he said, let there be. Then he made you, and then he made me. And we've been preventing him ever since. We've been holding him at arm's length ever since. We've been kicking against him ever since. We've been wagging our heads and esteeming him not ever since. We've been angry with him because he said, don't do that. We've been saying that's not necessary what he said ever since. I speak as a man. Ever since then, it's been that way, hasn't it? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. The word manner. You look it up in the Greek and has a little thought that I like. You could read it this way. Behold, from what country came this love? That's what it means. What country of origin did come such love? Was it Russia? I think not. How about China? No. Couldn't come from that. It must have come from the United States. No. Didn't come from the United States. Oh, well, the French. They're known as a country that lacks love. No. Didn't come from the French either. Well, there's a little island in the Pacific and all them people get along. No. Didn't come from there. From what country of origin came this love? That's the question. It came from heaven. And it came by way of Jesus Christ. The manner of the love, the origin of the love, is the great heart of God appealing to us. Who's believing the report today? Who is going to let the Lord of heaven reveal himself to you today? Who of us is going to be willing to change today? Who of us is going to be willing to open up our heart's door gladly today? Who is the arm of the Lord revealed to? Who is going to let the selfish shield of life go limp in their arms and fall to the ground? Who is willing to say, Lord, I need to be saved. Forgive me. Who is willing to say, Lord, I've held back on the pledge. Forgive me. Who is going to let him reveal himself in his glory, his honor? Who is going to give himself to God that the fullness of God may be lived out? Who's going to believe the report? I am so glad today. I know there are people that believe it. And I know there are people that the arm of the Lord has been revealed. The manner of this love is, folks, it came from heaven. It's not of human origin. It's divine love. It's divine care. It's divine interest in us. It is an interest of unselfishness that means totally, what can I do? How can I help those poor people? They're blind. They don't know their left from their right. They need help. I'm going to send my only begotten son. He didn't come from Wisconsin or Georgia or Louisiana. He came from heaven. From the right hand of the Lord. And may I say, when he had finished his work, this man went back to the right hand of the Father. And he's there today for you and me. He's there today for mankind. May the Lord bless us. May the God of heaven help us to understand that. This day, over in Luke the 4th chapter, 18th verse. Spirit, he took the book. Christ took the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place it is written. I believe this is the 61st chapter of Isaiah. And he read this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it back to the minister, and he sat down. And everybody was looking at him. Their eyes were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Who's going to believe the report? Who's going to accept it? Who is going to allow God? Who is going to pay the price to allow the Lord to be revealed? Who's going to humble himself, herself, so God can be revealed? Who's going to say, I'm sorry, so your children can see God revealed in you? So your wife, so your husband can see God revealed in you? Who's going to stand up and say, I was wrong, I missed the mark, so God can be revealed? Who's going to drop the shield of pretense and say, I want God revealed? This day, the gospel day, the scriptures are fulfilled. They're fulfilled. The only thing left is for me to believe it and for the Lord to come and take his bride with him. Today, we have the privilege of believing. We have the privilege of having the Lord revealed to us. And the question remains, who will let him do it? You pray for me.